Okay, yesterday we were learning about Tfilas HaDerech, saying standing, sitting, with a bracha before, without a bracha before, where you're going to, when you say it, and so on. Now, there's a lot of different customs. Moshe, what happens if somebody is traveling from here, let's say, to New York, and you have a stopover? So if you say it only the first time when you're traveling, or again by the next stop, you might have stopped over, you start flying again, do you say again Tfilas HaDerech? So some people say, no, you said it before the trip, and that's it. You know, mainly if you stay overnight somewhere, then okay, the next day you have to say Tfilas HaDerech. So most people say you don't have to say Tfilas HaDerech in the second leg of the journey, because you already said it. Some Paskim say you say it without Hashem's name at the end. You say Baruch Ata Shemea Tfilah. The Bel Arminig is that we don't do it because it's all part of one continuation. Another thing, our custom, the Rebbe writes, is if you go somewhere, let's say you're going to New York for a week, or whatever, for a week. So you say it Tfilas HaDerech on the way there, on the way back. But the Rebbe writes, our custom is that while you're away on your trip, every day after davening, you say Tfilas HaDerech. But again, you don't say Baruch Ato Hashem Shemei Tfilah at the end, you just say Baruch Ato Shemei Tfilah. So the meaning is actually to say it every day when you were traveling. Except Shabbos, correct. Except Shabbos, because Shabbos you can't say. What? No, you just say Baruch Ata Shemet. No, when you're traveling, yeah, but I'm saying once you're in a destination, you just say Baruch Ata Shemet Tefillah. Because Shabbos you're not allowed to travel. Yeah, but still, the Shabbos is above. That's not the Rebbe writes. You don't say Shabbos in Yom Tov. Yeah, that you could say. That's Hashem's name. You don't say Hashem Elokein. It's not a bracha.
So you can't. You say Hashem's name at the end.
Not at the end.
Only at the beginning.
Right. Right. No. 1 second. The day you're traveling and the day you come back, you say the whole thing. Every day you're there, you only say without Baruch Ata Hashem at the end Shemei Tefillah. Another thing is brought down in Kitzur. It says that Bechlal, before a person goes on a trip, they should give tzedakah. Because tzedakah, you know, the Gemara says, Kol Adrachim Mecheska Sakana. That's why we say Tefillah Sederach. All trips, all journeys, all roads are considered dangerous. So it says in Shechnach, you're supposed to give tzedakah before you go on a trip. It also says you should go to the leaders of the community and get their blessing to go on the trip, because then they give you a blessing. Today there's a minig what's called Shliach Mitzvah Geld. Shliach Mitzvah is when somebody goes on a journey, you give them a dollar and tell them or whatever, tell them to put it in the pushka where you're going to. Why? Because then they become messengers of a mitzvah. And the Gemara says, Shluchim Mitzvah Einam Nezokim. People that are going to do mitzvahs don't get damaged unless if it's what's called Barer Hezek, if it's definitely a danger. In fact, they ask a question, and first we'll talk about this. When Yosef was sent to his brothers by Yaakov Avinu to see how they're doing, and then they threw him into the pit and then sold him. So the Mefarshim ask, Yosef was doing a mitzvah of Kibbut Av Va'Em. His father sent him to check on the brothers. So why did he get hurt? So the Rishayim talk about this, alluded to in the Gemara. They say because over there was a definite danger. Shliach mitzvah, einen mezokin, going and coming, going and coming, is only primarily when it's a normal risk, you know, not a very dangerous situation. Yosef's brothers hated him, as the Pasuk testifies, so then the fact that Yaakov Avinu sent him as a shliach mitzvah didn't really help. But the custom is, in fact, another interesting din, it says in Halacha, you shouldn't tell the person, Lech b'shalim, you should tell them Lech l'shalim. And they tell a story because David said to Avshalim, Lech b'shalim, and he got hung. And Yisri said to Moshe Beinu, Lech l'shalim, and he was successful. When he sent Moshe Beinu back to Egypt. What?
Didn't Yaakov know that his brother Yosef hated him?
Yaakov Avinu did what God wanted him to do. God wanted Yosef to end up in Egypt. That's what tzaddikim do. I mentioned this Monday night at the Chumash class, by the way, that tzaddikim have no entity of their own. Whatever Hashem wants, that's what they do. Okay, so then it says on during the trip, by the way, and that only refers to the driver, you should learn deeply in Torah. Even though there's an obligation to v'lech chavaderech, you're supposed to learn Torah when you're traveling. So, in fact, there's an interesting Rogachev. The Rogachev says you don't see tefillah sederech in the ear because it's not called derech. And the Rebbe asks on it, what do you mean? There's a chiv of learning Torah on a plane because of lech chavaderech. It's not, it is called a derech. But there's another, one second, there's more interesting points. The Rebbe told people, by our custom is, when you go on a trip, you always take a chitas with you. Chumash Tehillim Tanya. For a lot of reasons, number one, in case you need to learn something, you'll have at least what to learn. It's also a form of protection. There were many people, the Rebbe said, they should keep a tzedakah pushka in the car. You don't need one, not a big one, a little pushka in the car. And before they go, they should put a few cents into it, but just make sure it's locked, it shouldn't get stolen. But you put push a little bit of tzedakah in there. And there were people that the Rebbe said they should have a mezuzah in the car. But those, again, were individuals. It wasn't a rule for everybody.
Why would you take a chumash?
Because we learn chumash and tanya and tilim every day. You know, like the daily tilim. Okay, so therefore you have what to learn. It's also what's called, when you have those svarim, it's a segula. It's a way to be protected.
But
what? No, when you go on a trip. The Rebbe said, "B'chal, no." The Rebbe did tell people, "B'chal, nochem that in the car should be a tzedakah pushka." B'chal in the car, no, it should always be in the car. Yeah. And there was an interesting thing. One year there were a lot of tragedies with car accidents. Every time the 9 days and all those things there. And then the Rebbe gave out. As many years ago, I remember when the Rebbe did was still a bachur. Then the Rebbe gave out that if you're driving at night on a long trip, like on the freeway or something like that, you have to stop every hour. To stop every hour when you're driving at night on a journey, push it because it wakes you up. I mean, I wasn't driving then. I didn't learn how to drive until I got married 2 years afterwards. I came to LA. I learned how to drive here. What I'm saying, the guys that were driving said that at night, you know, the roads are dark and you can fall asleep, God forbid. And just walking out, even for a 2 minute break, just to stop and help a tremendous amount of waking you up. So the Rebbe wanted, if you're traveling by night, the Rebbe said they should stop every hour and get out for a few minutes. Okay.
How long after you leave, you say the.
You said that, yes, when you're outside of the city. Now, what does that mean? It's questionable what that means. Okay, when a person davens, they have to daven properly when they're traveling. In fact, there's a shaila about, do you have to get off? Let's say you're riding on a donkey, olden times, or a horse, and it comes the time to daven. Do you have to get off the donkey to daven? Can you daven on the donkey? Or, things like that. So, people have to be careful. Another din over here in Shulchan Aruch and Kitzur, it says about traveling Erev Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says, Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to go more than 3 parsa. Now, each parsa is 4 mil. Okay, a mil is 2,000 amas. Okay, 2,000 amas is, let's say, 3,000 feet. So now, if there's 3,000 feet times 4, so there's 12,000 feet per parsa, times 3 is 36,000 feet, which is approximately 6 miles, 7 miles, between 6 and 7 miles. Yeah, but it says, Poskim write that nowadays, that's speaking about walking. Okay, walking. But the Poskim write that even today, when you go by car, you have to leave halachically, it's like 216 minutes. It's like, you're not allowed to travel 4 hours before Shabbos. Approximately 4 hours before Shabbos.
Stop traveling 4 hours before Shabbos?
Shouldn't start traveling 4 hours before Shabbos. Why? Because you might not get there on time to be able to prepare for Shabbos. So Paskim write that nowadays that food is prepared already. It's not like years ago you had to grind the flour and they'll make the whole thing. So it's much more available. Nevertheless, Halacha says you have to be very careful not to go Friday on a long trip. Now, for instance, I always mention this. In the summertime, when the counselors were in the day camps here, and the day camp finished at 4 o'clock, and they wanted to go to San Diego for Shabbos. Remember, guys, California, Friday afternoon, freeways from L.A. to San Diego. Normally, it's 2.5 hours. This is like... Anyway, I always tell the story. Every year I get people calling me, they're stuck on the road for Shabbos. How far can they drive and to when can they drive? It's really crazy. It's really disgusting. I once got a call from a bunch of counselors. They were at 4:30 in the afternoon. Shabbos was 3 hours later. They called me 4:30. They're going on to the entrance from Wilshire westward. They're going on to the 405. The ramp was bumper to bumper. And they said, what do we do? I said, you're not allowed to go. Halachically, you're not allowed to go because you're going to get stuck somewhere. You don't have kiddush, you don't have food. You're not allowed to go. For instance, I'll give you an example. For somebody to fly, okay, this week is not so bad yet, but let's say you want to fly from LA to New York on a Friday morning, okay? So it's a 3-hour time difference, okay? So even if you take, let's say, a 7 o'clock in the morning flight, okay, let's say. So in New York, it's already 10. The flight is, it's not 5 hours. It's 6 hours, 5.5. Getting off the plane, it's closer to 6 hours. So that would make it 4 o'clock in the afternoon already. That's if there's no delays. There's no delays, okay? Now, yeah, so, and then you have to get from the airport. And, you know, you're not allowed to do that. If somebody would want to fly from, let's say, New York to L.A., and they want to take a 7 o'clock morning flight, so during the summer, so then they leave 7, so they get here at 10 L.A. time, so that's not so bad. But now it's coming to winter, and it also depends a lot on the weather conditions. You can have a snowstorm in New York, and you can have 2-3 hour delays, so there's no way you can make it. No, I'm just saying, hello, people aren't aware of this because you hear it so many times. Every year, people call, they're stuck somewhere, they don't know what, they're going, I get calls, New York, they're going from New York to New Jersey, and they left not so early, and now Waze is telling them they're going to get there a half an hour after Shabbos begins. How far can they drive? And to make it more interesting, they have babies in the car. No, I'm telling you, realistic cases, every Friday used to get, I'm not joking, every Friday used to get calls from New York, or people, they call me because it's 3 hours earlier, you understand? So New York, it's almost Lichtenstein. So here they call us to, and what do you, what?
What did the Rav say then?
The Rav said that if there's no place to stop, you can have a guy driving them. It also depends if it's shaykh to walk. Is it a dangerous neighborhood? Is it not dangerous neighborhood? There's a lot of things. Every case I decided differently based on what the situation is. Sometimes you could technically travel until with a guy, you could go through Bein HaShemoshes, sometimes until say, sometimes you could be Mekel. But technically, if it's, let's say, adults, you have to park the car before Shabbos and walk. No, I want you in there. It's not Tchum usually. No.
Can't carry.
Huh? So you don't carry. So you don't carry. What? Well, I mean, the bottom line is that's why you're not allowed to travel on Friday. Is that Kabbalah? What? No, as long as in today, I told you today, even Kitzer says today, or not Kitzer, the Poskim, that even though today, as long as where there's food prepared already, and it's not, as long as you have extra time to come back. In other words, you can't plan to leave downtown that you Listen, we got guys pulling up here Friday afternoon, either 30 seconds before Shkia or 30 seconds after Shkia.
Rabbeinu Thomas.
In Foothill, there was a guy that was here for months. I mean, you guys probably don't remember it. A Satmar guy, two guys. You remember him? Anyway, but the Satmar keep Rabbeinu Thomas, Shkia. So by them, Shabbos doesn't begin until like 20 minutes after Shkia. 20 minutes after our Shkia. The guy used to pull up by car 20 minutes after Shkia to the shul. Because by then it wasn't Shabbos yet. So I went over to him and said, my friend, you can't do that here. Can you be Samech B'diyavid? Sometimes you have kids in the car. Sometimes you can be Samech. It's not, again, the bottom line of, I'm just saying these cases, realistic cases, because the bottom line is, you're not allowed to travel early on Friday, unless if you certainly have extra time and to be able to make it where your destination is.
You say 20 minutes by Rabbeinu Tam after Shkia?
Approximately, it depends.
It's okay,
12 minutes. מחר שני סומאי סומאי מחר בי במים כים שולה גאו תאירו וכן הנגש שמרות כבוכו זק סוביר ולמטו משנמד דינו יכול להתאמר